For more information on Victory Faith Centre and to download sermons at no charge, visit www.victoryfaithcentre.org.au.
It is one of the most important things that I do in life. It's not an exaggeration at all. Let's open in prayer. Heavenly Father, we praise you and thank you. We thank you for your wonderful blessing and your help in our lives. And Lord, today we desire to learn more of you from your word, by your Spirit, who is leading us and guiding us into all truth and teaching us all things. And we praise you, Lord, for that. And Father, I pray that every heart be open to receive this morning in the name of Jesus. Amen. Praise the Lord. We're looking this morning at Reign in Life by Jesus Christ. Reign in Life by Jesus Christ. So let's go straight to Romans 5. We'll look first of all at verses 8 to verse 12 of Romans 5. And then we'll be looking at verse 17. So the Lord Jesus Christ has done a wonderful work, the work of salvation, and he has made us new creatures in Christ when we have responded to the gospel that the Bible talks about, obeying the gospel, believing it, receiving Christ, repenting of our sins, and coming into the kingdom of God. Praise the Lord. A work has been done in our lives. We are now no longer dead in trespasses and sins. We are now no longer under the circumstances, but we are now seated in heavenly places. God has done wonderful things for us, and he continues to do wonderful things for us as we believe his word and grow in faith. Let's look at Romans 5, 8 to 12. But God commendeth his love toward us, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. So the definition of a sinner is a servant of sin. While we were yet in the state of sin, dead in trespasses and sins, okay, separated from God by sin, Christ died for us. God commended his love toward us. That tells us that God reached out to us. Wonderful thing. Verse 9, much more then, being now justified by his blood, we shall be saved from wrath through him. And we know that the blood of Christ washes us clean. It was the price paid. And now we are justified. We are made righteous. We are now legally right with God, and we are saved. Saved. Saved from the wrath upon sin in all aspects. Verse 10, for if when we were enemies that we were reconciled to God by the death of his Son, much more being reconciled, we shall saved by his life. We shall be saved by his life. So now that we're reconciled, God's salvation work is working in our life. God's salvation is working in our life. We have talked a lot about the salvation of the soul, and that's getting the soul into a prosperous state. We've talked about the salvation provision for the body. We've talked about, of course, salvation has changed our spirit. That which is born of the Spirit is spirit. So we are now spiritually alive to God by what the Lord Jesus Christ has done. Reconciled to God means that we're no longer separated from God by sin. Sin has been dealt with. Praise the Lord. And this is the basis upon which we are able to walk by faith and have victory in our lives. This is the basis by which we can reign in life. This is the basis that God has given us. Verse 11. And not only so, but we also joy in God through our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom we have now received the atonement. So we now joy in God through our Lord Jesus Christ. You think about it, dead in trespasses and sins, separate from God and his ways and his kingdom, in the curse, all of that we have been saved out of. The Bible talks about we've been translated, and now we've been translated into the kingdom of his dear Son, the Lord Jesus Christ's kingdom. So now, what we have, we can be joyful about in the Lord. And as we come to a greater and greater knowledge of it, growing in knowledge and understanding and see what the Lord has done and all the wonderful things that he wants to outwork in our life, our joy should increase. Verse 12, wherefore as by one man sin entered into the world, and death by sin, so death passed upon all men, for that all have sinned. So by sin entering into the world, that's the way the world was cursed. But look at verse 17. For if by one man's offence death reigned by one, much more they which receive abundance of grace and of the gift of righteousness shall reign in life by one Jesus Christ. So we have received, if we've been saved, we have received abundance of grace and of the gift of righteousness. That gift, as I said before, was paid by the blood of Christ. So we're now justified. That gift was presented, and now if you're presented with a gift, you need to receive that. And it uses the word received or receive there. We have done that. They that have received, they which receive abundance of grace and of the gift of righteousness, what's the consequence of that? What should be the consequence of that? What does it say? Shall reign in life by one Jesus Christ. That tells us what the Lord Jesus Christ has done. He's put us into a position of being kings and priests. Now, that's what Revelation 1 verses 5 and 6 says, that we are now kings and priests by his blood. We won't turn to that, but we know that that's now a reality in our life. We are now kings and priests. And that has been accomplished by what God has invested into us. He has made us that. Yes, we might be fledgling kings and priests. We might not, you know, understand everything about that. But we are. Just like a child that's been born into a royal household. There might be a little prince or princess, but as they grow up, they understand that there are aspects that they need to know as to how to reign. And it's the same with us. We must understand, as children of God, we are children of the King. We must understand, as children of God, that we now have within us everything that's needed to be able to reign in life by one Jesus Christ. This is the will of God for us. It is the promise of God. And it's the reality as we walk in what God wants us to walk in. Now, it doesn't come by chance, random processes. It comes as we respond in our walk of faith. And we grow in faith. You don't want to stay as a baby, because if you're a baby, you're a baby in knowledge and in understanding, and you just won't know what to do. You know, some adverse circumstance might come up, and if you don't know what to do, how can you reign? No? everything that Christ has done for you. He's made you a king and a priest, but it's of no use if you're not walking in that victory which you have. The Bible also talks about God gives us triumph through Christ, and so that we triumph all the time. That's God's will, for us to reign in life by one, the Lord Jesus Christ. That's his will. The realization of it, see, God by his grace has provided it, but the realization of it is as we walk by faith, stand by faith, believe his word, trust him, go forward in him, seek him. Have a look at Numbers 15, verses 37 to 41. I was looking at this, and there's some really valuable things that can come out for us as we learn how to reign in life. How to reign in life. In Numbers 15, verses 37 to 41. Now, I've said this a lot in the past, and I'll say it again, that just because it's in the Old Testament doesn't mean it doesn't apply to us. If you're a king and a priest, you should be looking at 1 Kings and 2 Kings, for example, to learn how the kings reigned properly. And there's lots in there. Those that sought the Lord prospered. Those that didn't seek the Lord didn't prosper. And you can see all types of things of what they did in their reign. They got rid of all the wrong things and all that type of thing. They had the right alliances if they were to prosper in the Lord, and so on and so on. That's what we've got to be as we approach, as spiritual Israel, we approach the Old Testament as samples for us, examples for us. We've got to see what has God given us. And we're looking at Numbers 15, start from verse 37. And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, speak unto the children of Israel, and bid them that they make them fringes in the borders of their garments throughout their generations, that they put upon the fringe of the borders a riband of blue. And it shall be unto you for a fringe, that ye may look upon it and remember all the commandments of the Lord and do them, and that ye seek not after your own heart and your own eyes, after which ye used to go a whoring, that ye may remember and do all my commandments and be holy unto your Lord, unto your God. I am the Lord your God, which brought you out of the land of Egypt to be your God. I am the Lord your God. So here we see God has spoken very clearly to the children of Israel here. He's speaking to us as well. There are things in here which show us all about how we can reign in life. When it talks about the fringe of the borders, a ribbon of blue. Blue speaks of heaven and heavenly things. We often talk about the blue skies or the blue heavens. So we know that we as believers should be looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. Just keep your finger in Numbers 15 and go across to Colossians 3. Colossians 3. We'll come back to Numbers 15 in just a minute. Colossians 3, verses 1 and 2. It says, if ye then be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ sitteth on the right hand of God. Set your affection on things above, not on things on the earth. So you can see where to be looking and seeking those things which are above, the heavenly things, where Christ sitteth on the right hand of God. We've got to be setting our affection on things above, not on things on the earth. setting our affection on the things of the kingdom of God is very important for us. Seeking those things which are above. There's a lot of people, even Christians, who are seeking those things on the earthly plane. Earthly things. Seeking, seeking, seeking after those things. Seeking, seeking things after, I need to get that done or that done, but leave God completely out of the picture. Or if they do go to church, it's, I'll just compartmentalise and put church over there. That's just one very small part. Or if I do pray, I can't give God more than 5 minutes a day. I've got too many other things to do. I go back to Numbers 15. Now, it's quite interesting here in verse 39. It says, "And it shall be unto you for a fringe." So God has symbolically put into their garments this riband of blue. Blue, talking about heavenly. "And it shall be unto you for a fringe that you may look upon it." Look upon it. "And remember." So it was like a trigger for them to remember. To remember. "And remember all the commandments of the Lord and do them. And that ye seek not after your own heart." What did we just read before that we're supposed to be seeking? Seeking the things above. Things above. Look at blue. That tells me I should be seeking things above, the heavenly. "And that ye seek not after your own heart." So you're not seeking after your own things, your own heart and your own eyes. How should we be walking? We walk by faith, not by sight. Okay? The devil, the enemy of God, the adversary, he's in the realm of the sight, feel, touch, taste, etc. If you base everything you believe and what you're going to do on all of that, you're not going to be led by the Lord. If I was led by sight, I wouldn't be ministering now. Or I wouldn't be doing things for the Lord for the future. Or even planning for the future. If I was led by sight, and sight alone, and seeking after my own heart, I'd be planning all types of things just to make sure that I'm nice and comfortable in the future. Now, that's not to say God doesn't want us to prosper, He does. But what does He want us to seek after? What does He want you to seek after? This is a great key for reigning in life. When you put God first. When you put God first. So I read verse 39 again. "And it shall be unto you for a fringe that ye may look upon it and remember all." Remember is a key word there. Remember. That's the prosperity of the soul. Remember all the commandments of the Lord. And, what's that? Do them. You're going to be a doer of the word. "And that ye seek not after your own heart and your own eyes, after which ye used to go whoring." This is what the world does. Whoring is going after other gods and other things other than the Lord's ways and other than God Himself. It's called spiritual adultery. I think there's a lot of it out there. Verse 40. "That ye may remember." So he's still talking about looking at the fringe. We see it as symbolically referring to seeking the things above, looking at the heavenly. "That ye may remember and do all my commandments and be holy unto your God." Does God want us to be holy in the New Testament? Yes. 1 Peter says, "Be holy even as I am holy." 1 and 2 Peter. So we know This applies to us. Are there commandments in the New Testament? Are there commandments in the Old Testament we should be looking at as well? Yes, right through the Scriptures. Jesus said, if you love me, keep my commandments. Commandments. When Jesus said, have faith in God, is that a commandment? Yes. When Jesus said, let not your heart be troubled, is that a commandment? Yes. There's commandments right through Scripture. So don't think, oh, that's just the law of the Old Testament that we don't have to keep. That type of thinking is rubbish. The way to think is, yes, I walk by faith, doing what God wants me to do. What does he want me to do? What does he show us to do? He shows us. Is it a commandment to seek those things that are above? Yes. We can equally say it's a commandment that we seek not after your own heart and your own eyes. It's a commandment to remember the Lord and to do all his commandments and be holy unto your God. Verse 41, I am the Lord your God which brought you out of the land of Egypt to be your God. I am the Lord your God. God, we just read before when we looked at Romans 5 that we've been brought out of sin. We've been brought out of the curse. We've been brought out of this evil world. We've been put into the kingdom of the Lord Jesus Christ. Have a look at Proverbs 9, verses 9 to 11. We're looking at reign in life by Jesus Christ. We have to know what we are. We have to know what the priorities that we must have in our lives are as well. What are we seeking after? What is God saying for us to seek after? How are we to walk? If you're a baby Christian, you don't know, because you need to be taught. Just like babies, they need to be taught. They need to grow up. And that's the reality. That is a reality. The Bible talks about being nurtured. The Bible talks about having the milk of the Word, feeding on the Word of God. But what happens if you are in a church that doesn't preach the Word or the fullness of the Word or the full gospel? There'd be a lack. There'd be a watered down milk, perhaps. A complete lack. But what God wants is for his people to partake of the richness and fullness of his word. Proverbs 9, verses 9 to 11. Proverbs 9, 9 to 11. It says, give instruction to a wise man, and he will be yet wiser. Teach a just man, and he will increase in learning. So what's God saying about his people? I want you to be wiser. I want you to increase in learning. God, does God want us to increase? Yes. Yes, he does. But it takes us to be open to that. It takes us to be ready for that. It takes us to say, Lord, I'm serious about going your way. Are we just men and women? Yes, we read that we're justified by the blood of Christ. Now, this is the reality for those who are growing in the Lord, that if you are given instruction, you'll take that instruction and you'll say, I'm going to apply that instruction in my life, and you'll be yet wiser. You'll start to grow. This is the growth that God desires. Teach. Are we to teach? Yes. In fact, the Bible tells us that the church should be teaching all nations in Matthew 28. Not go to make disciples, which is what the modern versions say, but go and teach all nations. God wants us to teach. Well, not teach just rubbish, but teach His Word. Preach and teach the gospel. Open up the Word to nations. Teach a just man and he will increase in learning. At the moment, the churches worldwide, across the globe, are in a sad lack of knowledge. Sad state. Verse 10, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. How many people do you know personally who are devoted to the fear of the Lord? That's what the scripture says we should be, devoted to the fear of the Lord. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, and the knowledge of the holy is understanding. Were we told to be holy? Yes. What is this book called? The Holy Bible, isn't it? It's set apart. It's set apart for the people of God. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, and the knowledge of the holy is understanding. For by me thy days shall be multiplied, and the years of thy life shall be increased. There we see that word again, increased. This is directly related to reigning in life. By me, by wisdom, by having this fear of the Lord, this is the way your days shall be multiplied and the years of thy life shall be increased. There is an increase, blessing, prosperity for the people of God. But it must come about through doing what God is saying to do. Put proper spiritual law in action in your life. If you ignore the things of God, if you ignore what we saw before, the commandments of God, what's going to happen? Well, you will go after seeking after your own heart and after your own eyes. But if you do what God says, which is to seek the things above and to look at the blue ribboned, so to speak, the ribboned of blue, that is, look to the heavenly things, and that will cause you to remember, so that your soul prospers. Look at 2 Chronicles 26, verses 3. To 5. Remember, I mentioned before that if we are to reign in life, we want to see some lessons. A good place to go is to 1 Kings, 2 Kings, 1 Chronicles, 2 Chronicles, which talks about the kings as well. Here's an example in 2 Chronicles 26, verses 3 to 5. God wants us to increase in learning. Not so that... See, he doesn't want to stop us from increasing. He wants us to increase in all aspects of our life. In 2 Chronicles 26, and I'll read verses 3 to 5, says, 16 years old was Uzziah when he began to reign, and he reigned 52 years in Jerusalem. His mother's name also was Jecoliah of Jerusalem. And he did that which was right in the sight of the Lord, according to all that his father Amaziah did. Okay, so here we see a king that's doing things that are right in the sight of the Lord. Do you think we can learn something from him? I think you can. You could also learn something from the kings that were doing the wrong things in the sight of the Lord. You see what I'm saying? So here's a good exercise for you to do. Go and read 1 and 2 Kings. See if you can see a few lessons for you to reign in life by Jesus Christ. All right, so we see here in verse 4, And he did that which was right in the sight of the Lord, according to all that his father Amaziah did. Verse 5 says, and he sought God in the days of Zechariah, who had understanding in the visions of God, and as long as he sought the Lord, God made him to prosper. So you look at these heavenly things, you're seeking the Lord. You're seeking those things that are above. You're seeking the Lord. You're seeking the Lord in your life. Seeking the Lord. What do you want, Lord? Teach me, Lord. Show me your way. I am led by the Spirit of God. Show me, Lord. I come to your word, Lord. Teach me out of your word. I sit under the anointed ministry. Teach me out of that, Lord. Thank you, Lord, that you are my helper. You are my teacher by the Holy Ghost. So here's a spiritual law. As long as you seek the Lord, God will make you to prosper. Is that increase? It is, isn't it? It's increase. Is that reigning in life? Well, if you're reigning in life, you're going to be prospering, aren't you? This is God's will for you. This is God's will for his people. God's will for his church. It's a sad thing to see at the moment the church seemingly on the back foot right across the globe. And because of the rise of infidelity, we see the rise of spiritual infidelity, backed by the spirit of error. We see that it's been dictating lots of terms and changing laws and so on. But God wants his people to prosper. But there is something they need to do. And that is to repent of going the wrong way and to say, Lord, I now seek you. Because I know, I'm talking about individuals and the body of Christ as a whole man, I know, that by seeking you, that's the way to prosperity, that's the way to increase. And I'll set my affection on things above, not on things on the earth. And I'll finish with Amos 8, verses 11 and 12. Amos 8, verses 11 and 12. God has put lots of prophecy in his word. God knows the end from the beginning. And God has put lots of prophecy, prophetic statements right through his word. We're in a very interesting part of history. We're in the time of the Laodicean period of church history. It's the last period of church history. Now God says something quite interesting here. It's related to seeking in Amos 8 verses 11 and 12. Behold, the days come, saith the Lord God, that I will send a famine in the land. Not a famine of bread, nor a thirst for water, but of hearing the words of the Lord. And they shall wander from sea to sea, and from the north even to the east, they shall run to and fro to seek the word of the Lord, and shall not find it. Something's really wrong here. There's a famine. But it's a famine of hearing the words of the Lord. God is not saying there's a famine of the Word of God. In fact, the Word of God is now available more than ever. When I talk about the Word of God, I'm talking about the authorized version, his pure Word. It's now available more than ever. But there's a famine of hearing it because something else has come in. Something has clouded the seeing. There's been a seeking after people's own heart and own eyes and basing things on the wrong things, trusting in lying words. And so the famine is here, well and truly. And there's people running to and fro, what's the word of the Lord? And they don't find it because they can't find it, because they're blind. They need that eye salve that Revelation 3 talks about. So God wants there to be, as we saw before, increase and abundance and plenty for his people. But there's a lot of famine at the moment, because there's a lot of rejection of the right things and receiving of the wrong things. That has to change for God to have a glorious church. That's got to change right across the globe. People have to seek the things that are above. And one thing that came from above was the Word. The Word came from heaven to earth. Where else did it come from? The Word of God came from heaven to earth. So God has told us very clearly, he wants us to reign in life. And that translates into not just individuals reigning in life, but the church reigning as well. Reigning in life, but does start with us. And we are to seek the Lord. And as long as we seek the Lord, he'll prosper us. And now I know God has been speaking a lot to us about this whole area of seeking him, putting him first, loving him with all your might, all your strength and all your mind. Prosperity of the soul so that you can prosper and be in health. But it's all for a purpose. He wants to bring us up to the level that we are reigning in life, to understand who and what we are in Christ, and to go forward in that, in victory. And there's a lot of people, we'll say in the church world, that need a lot of teaching to come to even a basic understanding. God is raising us up, I think, and believe, to help in that teaching and preaching and bringing forth his word for people to understand. So take it, each individual here, and think, how can I be used of you, Lord? And seek him daily. Praise the Lord. Let's close in prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank you and praise you. We thank you and praise you that by your Spirit you are teaching us. You are showing us what the Lord Jesus Christ has made us. By his blood we've been placed in a victorious position. We praise you, Lord, for that. We thank you, Lord, that you've made us kings and priests. You've made us so that we can reign in life. We pray that every person here reigns in life in the name of Jesus. That we can say we reign in life by Jesus Christ. Lord, if there be anything that needs to be dealt with or washed away, I pray that be dealt with in this congregation in the name of Jesus. Thank you, Lord.